Neil.
To go back a bit.
Yeah.
I'm always curious about these commentaries, the commentators.
Yeah.
In most cases, haven't they produced these materials sometime after the Buddha's death?
Sure, yeah.
So I don't want to sound sacrilegious, but how do they know?
But they don't.
Stuff that's not in the suttas.
Well, there's a whole variety of things. The commentaries are, you know, sometimes you think, oh, these guys are just talking through their hats, or, you know, making it up because it's, it sounds like a good thing, or they haven't got anything better to do. But there's also a long tradition of commentaries that were carried on, you know, from shortly after the time of the Buddha, and that's one of the problems in the Theravada scriptures, which say like the Pali is acknowledged to be, you know, goes back to the time of the Buddha or shortly after. The commentaries, all of the various commentaries that had been collected were compiled and collated by one person, or probably with a group of people helping, and they put it into that form, and then all of the old text or whatever was there was then destroyed, so that there is no way to sort out which is really old and which is new. So sometimes you have to take the commentaries with a grain of salt. Sometimes you take it and sort of, oh, that's interesting, that makes sense. And some have a real ring of sort of, you don't even really think about it. It's sort of like, oh wow, yeah, that seems right. And but you know what its origin is hard to tell, impossible to tell. So that commentarial tradition is important to. And this is, in some circles, sacrilegious to say, where, you know, in some traditions the commentaries are really sacrosanct. Thai tradition, Thai forest tradition, not so much. They're much. That's one of the beauties of coming from. Say this particular lineage is that there's much more emphasis put on the practical experience than on the text themselves. It's more like what can the text do to help you practice?